This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and Seattle Sports Station or seattlesports.com. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend, especially if you didn't watch the Mariners. You probably had an even better weekend, so that's good news.
Oh, that's not a very positive way to start off.
Well,
let's start it off this way, Bob. We dressed alike today. I selected this shirt, and I was like, man, I really hope Bob wears his car.
All right, tell him the truth. We were on the phone this morning going, well, what are you going to wear? Well, I'm thinking of going with burgundy. Really? I was thinking of that, too. You going long sleeve or short sleeve? What are you doing?
I call it Cardinal.
Cardinal?
Stanford Cardinal.
Okay. I call it Merlot. yes, we are dressed in a similar way, and it is Monday. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. Nice weather over the weekend. Nice weather today. Hope that'll last for a few more days before the rain comes in. But yeah. It was an unpleasant weekend. It was an unpleasant road trip, to say the very least, for your Seattle Mariners, and we are going to get into that. The one guy who could probably make us feel a lot better about this, I'm not talking about John Morosi. He could certainly do that. But a guy that we became a fan of the second we spoke with him. In fact, actually, before we had a chance to speak with him, we saw him interviewed and said, wow, what a nice guy. That guy looks, he sounds like an amazing guy. And then we spoke to him, and I think we became the co-presidents of his fan club, and he is back with the team. Taylor Trammell is going to join us at 2:30 today.
Yeah, I was surprised. I saw him on the field. I'm like, oh, I didn't hear anything about it over the weekend. I'm not on Twitter. I don't know if you know that, Bob. But I didn't know he was getting called up. Are you curious how they flew him out there? Do you think it's a good question to ask him? Do they fly you first bucket or are you in the back?
First bucket.
What do you think?
I don't know. I guess I never even considered it. I would hope they brought him out in style.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. Yeah, ask him. He'll join us at 2:30. And he's Mr. Positivity. He's just such a nice guy, man. I'm so rooting for him. Again, I don't know what he's going to do at this level. I'm pulling for him to be a superstar, but this team just needs some help. So we will talk to him at 2:30. Ryan Roland Smith will be with us at 3:00, as he is every Monday, and then Michael Bumpus, who's with us every Monday, Wednesday, and sometimes Friday, will be with us at 4:00 today. So we'll get deeper into all of that. I think Bump is out there at OTAs today, right, for the Seahawks?
Did he go out? Yeah, I just was trying to get in touch with people out there to see, you know, how many times you can come out. I think the media is only allowed once a week or something like that. So let's see if I can maybe pull some strings that maybe I'm an insider,
you know,
a big shot.
You're people who know people. Yeah.
Big shot list.
Yeah.
That's exciting that's getting going, but yeah, it was very depressing getting swept, and especially, I mean, that was just a gut punch yesterday.
Ugh.
Just a gut punch.
It was brutal. It was just brutal, and I don't know. I don't. What do you even say about it? You know, it just, whichever part of the team was functioning well, the other part was letting them down. So if the offense was scoring runs, it was the pitching that was letting them down. Or if the pitching's holding the opposition down, the offense is nowhere to be found. I mean, you just got a mix of everything on this road trip, whether it was the starter, whether it was the bullpen, whether it was the lineup. It was a collective effort. They were all complicit, Dave.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, everybody was to blame. So,
you
know, the thing that I was the most bummed about was that Dylan Moore screwed up the exchange there. Because I would have loved to have seen him throw that guy out. You know, that would have been the second one because he threw out the guy before that.
Now, the first one, I can't help but feel the Mariners caught a break there.
I thought he was out.
Did you?
I thought the guy's foot was up off.
I'll take it. I'm not complaining. I was kind of, I was watching it going, this is going to get called. This is going to get called back. This is going to get overturned.
Yeah.
And I think Blowers thought the same thing. I can't remember if they agreed or not. But anyway.
Well, they were showing Service's face, and he looked concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought pretty much everybody thought that, except for me, apparently, because I thought he was out. I thought his foot was up off the plate. But, you know, the throw before, or that throw by Demo was just awesome. I mean, he's not hitting. He had, you know, the home run, but I just love that he is a playmaker like that. And if he would have thrown that guy out, then, and I'm pretty sure they would have sent him, then you know, I'm pretty sure that he would have got him because it was a bullet. The throw when he
it was weird on the transfer to see that, and you're like, wait, what happened? That was okay. So they did record the out. They said he had possession of it, and then obviously we saw what happened, and they found a new way to lose, and everybody's upset. And after the game, Scott Service saying, "Yeah, we're frustrated as well, but it will turn around."
They should be frustrated. We're all frustrated. We all got to do better. But you know, with this group, they work very hard. They take their craft very seriously. They believe in. And what we do in our preparation every day, and that's what you can control. Once you get on the field, you got to just play, and you know, it'll turn. It will. I know it looks very bleak right now, but as long as we continue to compete like we did today, we'll be fine.
Boy, I wonder how hard it is for him to say that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just when you lose in the fashion that they've lost, and you get swept in a four-game series, and that entire road trip, I mean, you're 3-7. On that road trip, you've lost 19 of 25 yet. And I guess he's saying the right thing. You know, actually there's part of me that would like to say, you know what we've been putting out there on the field isn't acceptable. And we're better than this and we're going to be better than this. And that include, and he kind of did in a way, in a softer way, saying we all need to, you know, do better, what have you. But it's just, I think when fans that have been, you know, been living and dying and mostly dying with this team over the past two decades, get frustrated and angry. I think they want to see that in the manager, see that in the players, that they're fed up too, that they get it. You know, I think the last thing frustrated Mariner fans want to hear is, hey, we're going to be okay. It's all going to be okay.
You have to do that though.
Yeah.
I remember this is when I was coaching high school football. One of my neighbors, it was in a couple of neighborhoods ago. Okay. So whoever it is, I'm not calling anybody out in my neighborhood, but we got smoked. I was the D coordinator with the Mustangs at Redmond, mm-hmm. Redmond Mustangs, and we played East Lake, and we just got killed, like 49-0. And one of my neighbors was at the game, and he's like, "Man, I didn't see any emotion out of you. If that had been me, I would have been down there, you know, screaming and yelling at the kids." And I'm like, "Really? Is that really what you think that's what you should do? You think I should have screamed, pour gas on the fire by screaming and yelling at the kids?
It's the old cliche, light a fire under them, Dave."
Yeah. They were clearly better than us. We were not in that game. It was 49-0. Okay. So, I mean, look, I was trying to be calm. And, you know, if you are the guy that's screaming and yelling, I had another coach that I coached for he went out on the field after a personal foul and he's like, "You got to pull it together." So like he's displaying the opposite behavior of what he's talking about. So yeah, I mean, you have to be that way. And the same thing with Pete Carroll. And look, we all get a moment's satisfaction out of seeing a coach blow his top and, you know, scream and yell and things like that. But you know, when you get to the professional level, it's usually the players. You know, typically, and that doesn't really go in baseball. It's not like Ty France is going to get everybody lined up in the dugout and start screaming at them. It doesn't really work that way. But you'll see that on the sidelines every once in a while of a football game.
Yeah,
it's just different. But
well,
I mean,
it's what you said before, that in football, you can try harder. You can hit harder. You can run a little bit faster, and there's more aggression.
Hustle, yeah.
Yeah, where in baseball, that's going to work against you. I'm really going to swing hard this time, or I'm going to throw this ball so hard. Or, you know, there's very little in the way of exerting more effort that's going to produce a positive result in baseball. That tends to work against you.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah. I just assume that every fan that's watching the postgame show, you're pretty connected, and you know that's pretty much what Scott Service should say. You know, what's he going to do? These guys are terrible. Man, I thought we were a lot better than this. Geez, some of these guys we brought in here, they're not performing. I mean, what are you going to do? But, I mean, I'm sure that – well, and I'll tell you this. Like, for Chuck Knox, he would say, "Hey, this is on me and everything." But when he gets you alone in a room and all of a sudden shows you this play and then stares at you
– let you know it's not on him.
The steely blue eyes. Yeah, it's going to be like the speech I got from him the night before the game is like, "You keep playing like you're playing, and you're going to be standing on the sidelines next to me. Thanks, coach. I'll have a nice night's sleep tonight." I was slumping, and that's how he would handle it, you know, but he takes all the responsibility. And, you know, look, I mean, for a manager like that, he can't go out and hit for him. He can't, you know, do all of these things. So he's frustrated. Like you said, 17-20, they're 21-21. But it just, you know, their offensive numbers. At this time last year, yeah. But, you know, I'm looking at their offensive numbers, and they're like middle of the pack as far as average on-base percentage, 17, 18, 16. But if you look at last year, I mean, they were 28, 30, 31 as far as the slash line goes. They just never really got any offense going.
Yeah, it's not just the offense. That's been the prevailing problem, the biggest problem, most consistent problem, I would say, is you've gotten good starts, you've gotten, you know, decent work out of the bullpen, and the offense just hasn't been there on more occasions. But on this road trip, you got a little bit of both. The offense finally produced some run support for Chris Flexen, and then he goes out there and blows up. So, I mean, he had 5 runs of total support in his first 7 outings. 5 total. And then I think they gave him 5 in that game, and he, you know, fell apart. So it's just the timing. You know, Steckenrider, he's not who he was last year. He's not who he was, and Castillo has been bad, and Munoz is getting lit up. I mean, the bullpen is just not what – the bullpen is the biggest reason, without question, that you won 90 games last year. They're not the same bullpen. You've had some injuries. You lose Casey Sadler before the season even starts. Again, Castillo's had his problems. You've got Eric Swanson who's hurt. Misevich has had his problems. It's not the same bullpen for different. You were counting on Giles. Still don't even know what the guy looks like in a Mariners uniform. They signed him. He's made millions of dollars and not thrown a single pitch in anger for this team. And I don't know when that's going to happen. So you just start looking at, all right, well, the offense is a problem. You look at it and go, there. If I'm the opposing team, there's one hitter I'm looking at in that lineup right now going, well, he's the one guy you got to truly be concerned with. Yeah, the rest of the lineup can do some things, and they have, but it's been really spotty. You know, you look at what they've been in May. Ty France is just a stud. He just is. He's just that guy you just expect him to hit. He's hitting .325. He's got a .392 on base. You don't have a single complaint about anything he's doing. He is the stud of that lineup. After that, I mean, Julio in May has been awesome. He's hitting .325 with a .357 on base in May. But he's 21. It's his first year in the big leagues. There are going to be ebbs and flows. I don't know that you count on him. You're relying on a 21-year-old in his first season to help carry you. Yeah, this is great, but is it fair to expect that that's who he is the rest of the year? I hope so, but I'm counting on the veterans. I'm counting on the guys that have a resume of some sort behind them. And Julio, to me, is gravy. He's icing on the cake because you go into it knowing, yeah, there are going to be some down times. He strikes out a bit. You know, he's not going to be hitting .325 every month, you wouldn't think. So you're looking at the veterans. And the other veterans that have stepped up, I mean, Adam Frazier has definitely improved in the month of May. He's hitting .291 with a .364 on-base percentage. Not a lot of damage. He's not driving in runs. He's not stealing bases.
Snuck one over yesterday.
Yeah, the pesky pole, you got that going. But, I mean, he's just not a guy who's driving, and that's not what you brought him here for. You brought him here to get on base. He's your leadoff hitter. J.P. Crawford was the other guy. The month of May, he has completely fallen off. And I don't know if he's just had a hard time since the back injury finding his rhythm. But for the month of May, he's hitting .226 with a .290 on-base percentage. So J.P. has taken a huge step back. And then you look at the rest of the lineup. I mean, my goodness. I mean, Toro's hitting .203 with a .258 on-base this month. Torrens, .186, .271 on-base. Dylan Moore, .133. A .235 on base. Cal Raleigh is hitting .091, which is an improvement from April, with a .200 on base. That is a lot of holes in your lineup. And then Jesse Winker has picked it up. He's hitting .260 with a .293 on base. Those aren't the all-star numbers you traded for. And I'm not saying these guys, this is who they are moving forward, but you've got a lot of guys not living up to their end of the bargain in this lineup.
Yeah. By the way, Cal Raleigh, 4 hits, 3 home runs.
So he's been a disaster at the plate.
Yeah, he's what is he at 087. So, but I don't know, I'm kind of on the other side where I'm like, look, what this team is about is the young guys and rebuilding, and you know, those are the guys that need to pick it up, and Jared Kelnick being a prime example. We got Trammell coming up, but really, I mean, he's one of those guys too. I mean, he was part of the trade with the Padres, but you know, you some of these guys need to step it up. That's what this whole thing has been about, the rebuild. And, you know, you bring guys in like Suarez and Winker and just kind of hope they're like stopgap guys. But for the most part, to me, it's got to be the homegrown guys. And, you know, that's just not – it's not happening the way you want it to right now. And I'd put it, you know, mostly on Kelnick. I mean, he was – to me, he was the guy that was the face of this whole thing. And, you know, he's down in AAA right now. So,
well, that's an even bigger problem. If Jerry DePoto and the front office looked at this season and said, well, Kelnick's going to be this, and Julio's going to be that, and Gilbert's going to be this, and Kirby's going to be that, and Raleigh's going to... If you're pinning all of your hopes of success on unproven talent at this level, you've got a problem. You can't do that. That is absolutely the wrong way to do it. You've got to put the pieces around them to take the pressure off of them and allow them to make their mistakes, allow them to go through their downtimes, because you've got the proven commodities around them that can sort of, you know, help keep everything afloat. That's it. I mean, Winker is not a stopgap. He's an all-star from last year. That's who they wanted. They wanted him so much, they're paying Suarez $35 million. He's the highest-paid position player on this team.
Well, and I always say this about rookies in the NFL, that you can't count on them for anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they come through all the time. You know, guys in the draft all the time become, like, most of the NFL. And same thing with Major League Baseball. And if you saw that, is it Adley Rauschman?
Yeah,
kid that came up
Baltimore
this week for...
Hit a triple.
Yeah, he hit a triple. I mean, the guy's a switch hitter, and, you know, we'll see how he does. Maybe he's going to struggle and get sent back down, but, you know, maybe
he's on a terrible team. So
It was the number. We're going to see him here in a few weeks or a couple days, actually. Baltimore's coming to town. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's what it's all about. And so to me, I think you kind of do count on these guys. And I wouldn't be surprised if they thought that Kelnick was going to be one of their leaders. And, you know, because that's just the way it goes. You've got this guy's a great prospect. He should pan out. And when he doesn't, you know, that's kind of where they're leaning, I feel like. So, yeah, I mean, maybe that's not the right way to go about it, but I think that's what's going to turn this team around. You know, I mean, look, I love him, but Abraham Toro, you know, he's not going to turn this season around.
He's a role player.
Right. So, you know, to me, it's got to be these young prospects.
Yeah. But, I mean, Toro, Torrens, Dylan Moore, I'm not counting on those guys to carry the team. Those are all role players. All of those guys are. But I am looking at guys like Jesse Winker. You're an all-star. I am, and yeah, there's been bad luck, but I'm kind of done with bad luck. I'm kind of done with it's early. It's early. Yeah, there's 120 games left, but you are a half a game ahead of a team that completely ripped their team apart and said, we're not competing. We are going into the season waving the white flag, talking about the Oakland A's. This is not our year. They're, what do they got, 2,000 people a game showing up to that garbage dump?
And it looks like there's 100.
Yeah. I mean, it's just they went into the season saying, we're not competing. You're a half a game ahead of them. You're a half game. You're coming off a 90-win season. You went and traded for an all-star in Jesse Winker, and you brought in Suarez, who's got power, but there are some questions about, you know, his strikeouts and things like that. And it just, to this point, it has not lived up to the billing. My biggest problem is you did not capitalize on what you developed last year, which was you brought back an apathetic fan base. You had a fan base that just couldn't care less. The second things went wrong would go, same old Mariners, call me when it's football season. And you brought them back to life at the end of the season. This town was electric. There was Mariner mania going on. You got everybody pumped and excited and fired up for the following year, which Jerry DePoto has identified as the year they were looking to compete in 2022. This is it. This is the year. And I stick with what I said before. You don't make the playoffs, you failed.
Well, do you think he had just a blank check to write Jerry DePoto? I mean,
I don't know what he had.
You know, maybe the ownership was just like, hey, let's develop our young guys. These guys are good enough. You know, we'll bring them in here and see if they can, you know, sort of hold down the fort while these guys develop. But I mean, you know, I was watching I know you watch a lot of baseball, and I was watching MLB Network yesterday. They have the 50 best plays. There's lots of really good players out there and lots of really good rosters. And so, you know, we're sitting here looking at Julio Rodriguez. There's an Adley Rauschman. You look at Tim Anderson. I mean, all the ridiculous plays that, you know, the question came into my mind is this team talented enough? Are they up there with the rest of Major League Baseball? I mean, you look at the Astros who are coming to town here. They're just entirely loaded. But, you know, they did it that way. They did the whole rebuild thing, and it's worked out really well. And even without Correa
and Springer.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just am kind of like, I'm not that surprised. And when you look around the rest of the league, you know, there's lots of talent out there. And I'm just not sure if they're there yet.
Well, I think they're showing they're not, at least at this particular point. You've got guys that are, I'm not expecting anybody to be light years ahead of where they were. Yeah, young guys you want to see take the step. I just want Jesse Winker to be at least close to what he was last year. I want Adam Frazier to be who he's been. These are veterans that have a resume. Suarez has a resume. Robbie Ray has a resume. That's the other part. That's the, they did spend money. They went out and made a big move with him that everybody loved, and it to this point has not really worked out. He's 4-4 with a 4.77 ERA. His ERA for the month of May is 5.55. That's not who he was last year. For whatever reason, we keep talking about, well, one bad inning. Figure it out. You can't have those bad innings. This team doesn't have the slack. You don't have the offense to back that up. So there's disappointment in pitching, hitting across the board, and we'll continue to talk about that. But right now, let's take two.
I know this will be tough news, but Clowney Watch is over. The Browns have re-signed Jadeveon Clowney to a one-year, $11 million deal. And NFL Network's Ian Rappaport also said that Clowney turned down multi-year offers in the $14 to $15 million range from some unsaid other teams.
Well, he's got plenty of money. I think he's going to maybe going to the right place for him. It's amazing with you look at his numbers, though. The most sacks that he's ever gotten, and this is, was he the number two pick in the draft?
Number one.
Yeah.
Number one overall.
Wow. I mean, 9.5 is the most that he's ever gotten, and 3 here in Seattle.
I think he had 9 last year, didn't he?
You did.
Yeah, I thought that would have produced a higher number for him coming off a year like that, 9 sacks. But
I just think he's a good football player, though. I mean, I think he plays the run really well. I know Willie McGinnis didn't feel that way.
No.
But he sure played that way when he was here.
And we have an interesting reunion in Indy. Mike Garofalo reporting that Nick Foles and the Colts have agreed to terms on a 2-year deal. So Foles will back up Matt Ryan, and he's back with Frank Reich, who was his offensive coordinator when Foles led the Eagles to the Super Bowl win over the Patriots.
It's nice insurance to have if you're a Colts fan. I mean, you're probably excited about, you know, the Carson Wentz thing did not work out. Matt Ryan, a very good quarterback. We'll see what he's got left in the tank. But Nick Foles is a guy who's proven to be one of the better backups, and as you just said, won a Super Bowl as a guy who came in relief. So you feel good about your quarterback situation there, I would imagine.
They have a pretty good offensive line there, too.
Yeah,
and
really
so,
good.
You know, as far as protecting Matt Ryan, I mean, that's Nick Foles probably the best backup quarterback in the league and probably likely to not see the field.
Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberknifeProstate. We love the chance to talk to this guy. We've been waiting for the chance to talk to this guy. He is back with the big team, and he is going to join us next. Taylor Trammell coming up. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We'll be catching up with Taylor Trammell here any moment, waiting for him to join us on the program. It is Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. I can't believe it's been this long since we've had a chance to speak with him.
Yeah,
we talked to him right when he was brought up the original time with the Mariners, and then he got sent back down and I think called back up again. And obviously he's been in the minors this year for I think only like 3 games. And then he suffered the hamstring injury, and then we just didn't really hear much. And I guess he was down in Arizona working out and in some extended spring out there or whatever was going on. I kind of lost track of him, and then boom, all of a sudden he's up with the big club. Like, all right, cool.
Yeah, he showed up Saturday, right?
Yeah, he actually scored a run.
Worked
a walk, and then I believe it was Adam Frazier that hit that home run around Pesky Pole and scored. It was a 2-run shot, scoring Trammell.
Right. That's right. So he was on base.
So he's already had a positive impact, Dave.
Yes, exactly. And his attitude is, I just remember him doing an interview last year and from the dugout, and then afterwards he's like, go Mariners.
Yeah.
And has
this
big smile on his face.
I think that's the one I saw before we ever spoke to him. I'm going, what a good dude, man. Yeah. He just was just over the top nice, and you couldn't help but root for him.
When I asked him last year his favorite play, and he said, anytime I can help out a teammate. I'm like, this guy's a gem.
That's when he knew he was a great guy.
Yeah.
And it is our pleasure to bring him back to the program. It's been far too long, but he's with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. The one, the only, Taylor Trammell is here. Taylor, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We got to tell you that we spoke to you when you first got called up with the Mariners, and then we just fell in love with you then. We became the co-presidents of your fan club. We're like, man, we love this guy, man. I'm rooting for this guy to do big things, and obviously you've had some challenges and everything, but it's been far too long, so it's a great opportunity for us to speak with you. And just I'm curious about, you know, how this season went, because we were kind of following you. I think you only played like three games in AAA, a handful of games. You suffered the hamstring injury, and then there wasn't a bunch of news. I was having a hard time figuring out what's going on with Tramiel. Where's he at? And it turns out you were in Arizona, and all of a sudden here you are with the big club.
Yeah, so it was kind of funny how everything went down. So first of all, blessed that, you know, it wasn't as severe as I thought. So it actually is a hamstring insertion. So it's literally right on the knee for the most part. So, you know, when I felt that, you know, I felt the pop and everything like that, I for sure thought, you know, it was my knee, and I was kind of down for a second. But, you know, after some time, we did the test and everything like that, and they actually found out it was just a partial tear in the hamstring insertion. So I was very fortunate and very thankful that it was that. And then throughout the time, I really wasn't on any social media. I wasn't doing anything. So everybody was like, dude, we had no idea of anything. And I was just like, I've just been out in Arizona just doing, you know, rehab assignment. Well, out there for my rehab assignments, and then just working out and getting better every single day, and working my trainers and athletic guys, and working to get better every day.
So is that where you were, Taylor, when you got called to Boston? Tell us about that whole thing, because I was just speculating. I'm like, yeah, did they fly you up in first bucket, or did they put you back in the back of the plane?
With the common folks like us?
Yeah, what was that whole experience like?
Yeah, it was a funny experience. So we had – the plan was going to Tacoma on, I think it was Sunday. So I was going to fly out Sunday, have an off day on Monday, and then be back with the guys in Tacoma on Tuesday and play on Tuesday. So I got the call. Johnny Walker, he asked me how the day went. I played seven innings on Saturday in Arizona at 10:30. So I played seven innings there. And when I played seven innings, I had just finished everything, and I went back to the hotel to pack up everything and get ready for my flight on Sunday. And I actually was about to take a nap, and I got a call from Andy McKay, and he was like, hey, how do you feel? I was like, yeah, good. You know, I feel good. And he's like, all right, good. You're going to get a flight to Boston, next flight to Boston. And then I was like, okay, now I got to get all this stuff going. So I had to fly to, I flew to Boston. Well, I flew from Arizona to San Fran on the red eye, and then San Fran to Boston. And then yesterday, I flew from Boston to Seattle. So it was a pretty cool experience. So I got some really good sleep last night.
Okay, nice. Good.
So was first class seat, though? Is that, that's the important part.
It was a good flight.
Well, hey, we hope exit row at least. Dude.
Yeah, yeah. We need you to be able to stretch out and be comfortable, man. You can't be sitting in the middle seat between, you know, two giant people that are going to keep getting up, going to the bathroom, waking you up. Nobody needs that. We gotta.
So that's what happened on the first flight. So the three biggest guys on the plane were in the same row. And, yeah. Fortunately, I got the aisle seat on the next flight. So the one that actually mattered, I got the aisle seat. So it was good.
Man.
That seems to happen to me a lot, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always, why the biggest dude always sits
next to you. Yeah. So, Taylor, what's different with you now versus, you know, when you got called up the first time and it was all new and exciting and everything, and you go back down to the minors? Is your approach different at the plate? Is your mental approach? Are the mechanics different, or has anything changed at all?
I would say mental. Mentally, I feel like I'm a different person. You know, I had some time in the big leagues now. I've seen some of the things that have gone on and everything like that. So for me, I just see it as a very good opportunity. You know, I'm doing this. Doing my work on and off the field to be prepared every single day. And I think the biggest thing I would probably say is my preparation. I think for me, I think I'm more prepared than I've ever been. I really have taken upon myself with the guys that I work with, you know, just making sure that anytime, any place, anywhere, you know, I'm prepared each and every day that I go out there. So whether it be the pitchers, knowing about the base runners, whatever it is. You know, I feel like I have a good knowledge of, you know, pretty much a lot of things that are going on. Also still learning, but at the same time, like, I'm going to be the most prepared that I can be each and every day so that I give a chance to these pitchers and these guys that I'm playing with, you know, a chance to win. So that's kind of how I've gone about this. And just understanding that time is a really good thing. And, you know, we're out here just, you know, making the most of every single chance that we're out here. So that's kind of like what's kind of different for me right now.
Yeah, Taylor, who are some of the guys, some of the vets, guys on the team that that you've been able to get some information from and some help from?
So Jesse is a guy that I actually went to, I played, I would say, with too, because we spent some time with the Reds together. Mm. And, you know, he was always a guy I really looked up to. You know, he took me, like, to my first, like, took me out to my first dinner as, like, a player that's actually in the game to a younger player. So, you know, I'm really thankful for him. And, you know, we have a good bond. I really enjoy my conversations with him every single time, just looking at him as a left-handed hitter as well, left-handed outfielder. Like, I really learned a lot from him, and also Mitch as well. Like, I'm looking around him. I just saw him today. And, I mean, every time that he gives a chance, he's always feeding to younger players. And, I mean, he's, you know, he has his reputation for a reason. Like, he is that guy for us. And, you know, I'm very thankful that, you know, he invests in the guys like me.
Hey, Taylor, before we let you go, I'm just curious, through the, you know, ups and downs, you're a guy that came in with, you know, some expectations. I think you were the 35th overall pick in the draft. And, you know, so there's expectation that comes with that. You've had some success. You get sent back down. You get called back up. Has that been discouraging at all? Have there been moments throughout this process where you're just like, what is going on? Or, you have such an up attitude and demeanor that it seems weird to think of you as being down or depressed or anything. But have there been those moments throughout this ride?
Absolutely. I think everybody kind of does. You know, I do have, you know, kind of like you said, that good attitude. I feel that way as well. But there are sometimes, you know, this game does take a toll sometimes on players and everything like that. And I've had to battle through a lot of things, even going through the rehab process, understanding, like, okay, like, yes, it's an unfortunate situation, but at the same time, making the most of it. And that's kind of like what I did. So discouraging. Everybody goes through things in their lives, and sometimes it's not, you know, a smooth road. But for me, I think of everything as a learning opportunity. So for me, when all that stuff happened, everything is kind of like happened in my career, like, I look at it as an opportunity for me that has grown. So that's kind of like, for me, is the best part. So, yes, I did get down on myself a little bit, but at the same time, I got over it, and I was like, okay, look, this is my career. Like, I'm not going to just sit down and feel bad for myself or anything like that. I'm going to do something about it, and that's kind of like what I've tried to do.
Well, we are excited to see you back. As I said, you got the co-presidents of your fan club here, so we are excited that you're back, and we are pulling for you. Congrats on that, and really look forward to seeing you out there. Thanks for taking the time, as always.
Thank you, guys. I really do appreciate it. Be safe, please, for me, please.
Absolutely. There you go.
You're the best, Taylor. Thanks,
there you,
man.
Go. Taylor Trammell.
Perfect, guys. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. How do you not love that guy?
Yeah. You just do. You just do, man. He's such a great attitude. And, you know, it's kind of funny. He's reflecting there. I was like, yeah, I did maybe get down on myself a little bit too much. But, yeah, everybody does. I mean,
yeah.
So, yeah, he's just going through the process there. And there's a guy you would never, you know, I always talk about how personality can kill your career.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't handle things the right way. And this guy is just such the most well-adjusted, nicest kid. I mean, and if you're Jesse Winker or Mitch Haniger, how do you not want to go help him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good dude, and like we talked about before, if he were ever to get into some, you know, social media battle with somebody, or somebody was ripping him, or there was a beef with somebody, it's the other person's fault.
Yeah, he's the
jerk. Clearly
the other guy's the jerk.
Yeah, the other person is the problem. That's clear from the jump. If you missed any of our conversation with Taylor Trammell, or any of our guests for that matter, you just head to the podcast page, seattlesports.com. You can search Wyman and Bob wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, And what should they do when they get there, Dave?
Check your email first.
No, never mind.
Subscribe.
There you go. Click subscribe. That's how you get it done. Then you never have to worry about it again. All right. Coming up, does the NFL need fixing? There's one guy out there that thinks so, and we'll tell you what we're talking about next. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Our thanks to Taylor Trammell, who joined us in the previous segment. If you guys missed that or came in on the end of that conversation, it will be available for you on the podcast page after the show, seattlesports.com. Just love that kid. Dave and I were talking during the break. I'm going, I don't know what he's going to do at the big league level. Maybe he doesn't do anything. Maybe he turns into a superstar or something in between. Who knows? I root for that guy as hard as I root for anybody.
Yeah, he's just so easy to like. And, he's just one of those guys you really – and I think he will. I think he will have success. His attitude, every time we've talked to him about his approach and how he thinks about it, it's very healthy. But like you said, I mean, maybe he just doesn't have the talent. We'll see. But, man, he's certainly
– 35th overall pick, you know?
Yeah, he certainly has given himself a good opportunity. And, you know, I remember when he went down, I said, yeah, he was kind of calm and, and Kelnick was the guy that was, you know, pounding the plate with his bat and throwing his helmet down. And a couple people were like, nah, I saw Taylor Trammell react a few times, like slam a helmet down. But that's just natural. That's part of it. You're going to get frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah. And for him, it's more of a rarity, whereas Kelnick, that's just part of who he is.
Yeah.
Which
is fine. You know, as long as it works for him, but if it's not working for him. But I just think this kid is so aware. And, his family. Remember reading about, like, his dad worked at the post office. His mom was a teacher at the local school.
Yeah.
He just got engaged to his, like, I think it was his high school sweetheart. I mean, the guy's just a, you know, like I said, if you're one of the older guys, like.
You're drawn to him, right?
Yeah,
you're like, I'm going to help this kid.
Yeah.
I'm going to do whatever I can. Hey, I saw this article. I sent this to you guys last night. First of all, I didn't realize Bud Grant is 95 years old.
It's amazing.
Holy mackerel. He's used to coach the Vikings. He's in the Hall of Fame. I don't know how old I thought he was, but I didn't know he was 95. I like that the article starts out, Hall of Fame former Vikings coach Bud Grant is at 95, almost as old as the NFL itself.
Yeah.
But he's not done offering suggestions for how the league can improve quality of play. So he's talking about fair catches on punts and touchbacks and kickoffs and things like that. And he says, here's his quote. I would complain to people about the idea that when the trailing team was out of timeouts, the quarterback starts kneeling down and the fans are leaving. There's nothing that can be done about it. I kept thinking about it and decided, yes, there is. The team on offense has to make a yard. 1 yard or the clock stops. A few things can happen when trying to make a yard. You can get stuffed. You can fumble. You can get a penalty. You keep the fans interested. So, and then they talk about he was a 4-time Grey Cup winner in the Canadian Football Hall of Fame as well. And he said, I attended enough meetings to know the NFL wants to avoid admitting Canadian football has a better idea about anything. Yet they should follow Canada and take away the fair catch. There's no fair catch in Canada, but the coverage also has to give the returner 5 yards. NFL people fear this. And they'll say it will increase injuries, but the 5-yard cushion makes all the difference. My opinion is there won't be any real increase in injuries. The punt would become an interesting play. And he goes on. I won't read the whole thing, but he doesn't like the kneel downs. He doesn't like touchbacks. He's saying you shouldn't get to the 25. That if you take a knee in the end zone or it's a touchback, you go to the 15.
15, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Well, and I look, he's battling Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
I mean, Roger Goodell is on a fool's errand, in my opinion, because he's trying to make an inherently violent game safe, and it's just not. I mean, I think some of these things are interesting, though.
I didn't think he was wrong. I was reading it going, yeah. I don't think anybody in the NFL is going to go, oh, yeah, I like that. Like, none of this will happen.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about the kneel down. Like, if you're in that position and you're just trying to get out of here, we got the win here, you know, that one, not so much. But the whole hysteria over, punts and kickoff returns that, you know, you're going to get hurt and that's ridiculous and blah, blah, blah. I mean, there are high-speed collisions on every play, you know, and I think people get fascinated with, oh, because you're running. Well, lots of guys are running at full speed. You don't need – you know, a 30-yard sprint to get up to full speed. A lot of these guys are at 10.
5-yard cushion, though.
Yeah.
So if you sprint up there, can't get in that 5-yard bubble, so to speak, so you're slowing down.
Right, and that's the punt. I'm talking about like the kickoff return and things like that, you know, and it's why everybody is, you know, they freak out over that and over the injuries. So, you know, I remember having that argument with Clayton about the horse collar tackle. And I'm like, you don't see any injuries. They're like, well, it's because it's a penalty. I'm like, guys are still doing it. They're just getting penalized. But
it still happens.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think they totally overreact to that. So I think it's interesting. And especially the punt return thing. So, yeah, you can't go firing down there and, you know, just blow a guy up who catches a punt. And that part of the game has gotten pretty boring because the punters are so good at with the distance and the hang time and everything to get it so the gunners
it's a fair catch.
Yeah, the gunners get there right at that time. Because you know, we ever see every once in a while you'll see a punter outkick his coverage.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't want to do that. You want to time it so you're able to get him right there. And yeah, you get down there, you get 5 yards away, and when he catches the ball, and then it's an exciting play again.
Yeah, I'm kind of with him. I don't think any of it gets put into place, but I don't think he's wrong on any level.
With Roger Goodell.
And the kneel down, you know what? If you're trying to avoid injury, maybe if you're trying to gain a yard, that's where somebody gets hurt because the other team's ticked off.
Yeah.
You know, they're losing the game. You're running out the clock. You're trying to gain that yard. Maybe that's where an injury takes place. So maybe that'd be the one area I think I agree with you. I wouldn't go with his plan there, but everything else.
Yeah, I thought he went 2 for 3.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's on the mark.
95 years old, man. There's
Did
another
you know
guy
he was that old.
I didn't realize that. There's another guy there named Paul Wigan who was my head coach at Stanford, and he's also I think he's around. He's got to be close to 85 anyway. But just awesome members of the Minnesota Vikings staff.
Yeah. All right. Coming up, Ryan Roland Smith will join us and help us. Feel better about, well, maybe he won't. We'll see how he feels. He's very upbeat as well. These are the people we need, Dave.
Yeah.
Coming off a road trip like that. And Ryan Roland Smith will talk some Mariners with us. Coming up next, it is Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com.